Good morning and happy 4th. As we get a chance to worship together, I want to draw our attention to a couple of things. As we have been looking at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, I encourage you to open up your Bibles there and listen to what Paul has been reminding us. As you do that, I want to share with you a couple of things. Number one, join us tonight. If you don't have plans to celebrate with fireworks or with friends, family, come join us at the branches tonight at 8. Bring your lawn chairs. We're going to have a short devotional, a little bit of time together, and then just enjoy some fireworks and celebration tonight. I want to ask a question about our family real quick, and I need us to participate. I want to share with you the unique diversity, and it's not just unique to South Fork, but the way that we have been walking through this COVID challenge together. I want to remind us as we take some of these final steps that we've got a variety of members within our congregation, a variety of perspectives. And so I want to ask us, get a vaccine, wear a mask, or give grace to those that don't. Think about this for a moment. We've got some families within our congregation, one that has been fully vaccinated. Yet when they gather together, they still wear a mask. We have others that are vaccinated but are concerned about being in the presence or being around those who have not. And so they are still very cautious about their health. There are those that maybe would prefer to have the vaccine, but because of health or other situations that they deem as a priority or a necessity, they don't think that they qualify for the vaccine, and so they're concerned. There are others who are saying, you know what, I don't want that vaccine. I would rather just be in a mask. And there are still others who are saying, I may have done all of those things, I may not do all of those things, but I'm not wearing a mask anymore. And we still have some who are saying, I won't even show up until we are totally free from masks. Now, how is this family supposed to get along if we don't first submit to one another? That your preferences are higher than my preferences. Your wishes are higher than my wishes. But if I come in and I tell you, this is the spot, or this is the spot, or this is the spot that we all need to be in, we will fracture and fade away. But brothers and sisters, if we can learn how to be brothers and sisters, using the great opportunities of technology, using the great opportunities of afforded us in this day and age, if we can rise up to be a family this diverse, we have an opportunity to be a light in our community. I want to challenge you to join me as we finish these final steps. Lord willing, let us be a church family that gives grace, gives faith even more in our lives. May we not live in fear. May we be faithful in all that we do. And finally, before we get into Philippians 4:8, I want to just say thank you so much for the cards and for the emails and texts and Facebook messages. Last week on my birthday was such a blessing. I am so thankful to be a part of the South Fork family. You have made me feel wonderful and wanted, and I appreciate that so very much. Whatever is true. A few weeks ago on Mother's Day, I shared a story of Rosa Parks as she illustrated what was true and not happening in our world. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, Corrie Ten Boom, as she is in this prison camp, as she learns how to minister to those who are in need just like her, as she learns to pray even for the guards who are tormenting her. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right. As a missionary who leaves America to go to Japan and finds a unique opportunity. Whatever is pure.
We talked about General Washington and General Benedict Arnold and their motives and the opportunity to relent from the misdirection, the misguiding of their own thoughts. Whatever is lovely, Susanna Wesley, as she's leading her family despite the overwhelming hardships of her life. Whatever is admirable, the runner Eric Liddell, as he gives up fame and fortune, as he goes off to be a missionary, as he then also thrives and pushes the name of Jesus above all other things, even as he gives his life there in China. If anything is excellent, we talked about last week, about the young man who was born in a prison camp in North Korea, who knew nothing about North Korea. He knew nothing about the world until he started to be connected with a few of those that were outside. And his eyes are open to the excellence and the opportunities that abound as we are in this world, as we are overcome sometimes with the darkness and the destruction that we live in. Whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. The last couple of weeks, I've asked you to share some of your thoughts and your prayers, your praises with me. And I appreciate the feedback that I've received, both on these cards and texts and emails. Your words have really inspired me. I've loved reading about the different perspectives that we've had. And some shared about the seasons and the life that has continued to blossom and bloom right in front of our eyes as we've been in sort of a holding pattern during all of this COVID. But yet God's nature has not ever stopped. God's cycle of life has continued to shine bright, and his beauty and his creation is a constant source of praise for us. For those that have lived under the education online programs, that education is still happening even though our children and some of the adults were not able to go into classes, what a praise and an opportunity that we live in such a time. That we are able to still celebrate, maybe in a brand new way, those graduations or those milestones that are happening in our lives. Some are thanking God for the extra time with family. Just as the world pressed pause, as we get to stay home, as we get to spend a little bit more time with our loved ones. Kyle asked recently in an email or in a video, are we really celebrating that time, or were we just revving up for our freedom so that now we are living in even more fast-paced life? This new avenue of engaging in worship, our online opportunities, has connected us as a church family. Last week, we had at least 60 devices who were joining us, maybe about 100 plus who are participating in our worship service, giving us an opportunity to worship and to minister and connect with those that are far outside of the Winston-Salem area. Some said that most of us got to keep our jobs. We learned to be flexible, that there is evidence, clear evidence of God providing and God protecting. And all of these are reasons for us to praise. One member shared with me recently, the Philippians 4:8, that she had heard this phrase, that Philippians 4:8 is parking my mind in a better spot. This has redirected our thoughts. I remember we were working with a church out in California, and one day a minister friend came over to our house. I didn't think we lived in a bad neighborhood. I didn't think we had any problems. But when he pulled up, he parked out on the street. He came in and spent some time with us. And over the period of time together, I noticed him several times getting up and going over to our window, and I didn't know what he was doing at first, but he was looking at his car. And after he did that three or four times, I finally clued in, and I said, "Brother, would you like to move your car?" And so I pulled my car out of the driveway, put it on the side of the road, and he pulled in there, and he was so much more relaxed about that. Philippians 4:8 is parking your mind in a better spot. And how many of us, maybe we shouldn't raise our hands, but how many of us, as we look back over the last 15 months, or maybe even a shorter period or a longer period, how many of us have had our mind parked in the dark, in the gloom, in the worry, in the anxiety, in the frustration, in the rat race of life, how many of us have missed really where we need to have our mind parked? I remember in elementary school, I had this writing assignment. Maybe you had this too, that the teacher gave us a prompt. And we had to write one sentence. And the first sentence was going to be a positive. We had to start this story with something that was positive or interesting, exciting, whatever. And I wrote, I'm flying in a plane. Then she said, now you need to write a negative. And I said, well, the engine went out. Now you need to write a positive. Fortunately, there were some parachutes on the plane. Now you need to write a negative. But my parachute had a hole in it. But there was a big lake. But I was drifting off in the wrong direction. And on the story went. And I think that resembles our life so well. That there are positives and negatives in every moment of our life. In every day, there will be some sunshine and there will be some rain. There's something to write home about, and then there's something to write home about. Philippians 4 reminds us that even in the positives, we have opportunity to praise. But in the negatives, in the difficult times, we have reason to praise that our God is not dead. Amen? Our God is not blind. Amen? Our God is alive, and he cares, and he's active, and he's working. He doesn't promise that you will never have a rainy, crummy day. No, he says, in the midst of that, I will deliver you. Through this, you will grow, and you will prosper. You will endure. You will become something of some new, great growth. Number one, I want to tell you a couple truths. The first one is Satan lies. Now, we know this, right? I mean, we who might have been a part of the church, we who have lived in the world, we know that there are so many things that glitter in this world that try to grab our attention that are fake, they're frauds, they are filled with nothing. But Satan is a liar. It's all smoke and mirrors. This world is going to come to an end, and all the things that we are chasing after are going to be just rubble. Trash and left behind. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the devil, Satan, comes to steal and to kill, that he is thriving after this ambition. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18 reminds us that he wants to stop, he wants to thwart us. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we see this picture of this lion who is roaming around looking for someone to devour. And so often, brothers and sisters, we take this number one truth and we sort of just disregard it. We forget about it. We forget that we have an enemy, an adversary, one who is purposeful in attacking us. And I want to bring that to your mind so that when we see those attacks, we will come back to these things that we are supposed to be thinking about, so that we will see the way out, so that we will overcome the difficulty that is before us. Number two, I want to share with you three reasons why we have difficulties or hardships in our lives. That we will have hardships in our lives. That is a matter of fact. This idea that if you become a Christian, you will just live with smiles and joy and you will never have a bad day or a difficult day. You will never undergo hardships or trials. Boy, the stories within the scriptures just don't bear that out. Job is a man who is righteous and catches God's eye. He also catches Satan's eye, and God allows him to be enduring of some hardships. Three reasons why we are enduring some hardships. Number one, they are going to be the consequences of our poor decisions. Again, I probably don't need to show of hands, but how many of us have made poor decisions in our life? How many of us have lived through the frustrating consequences of our choices? How many of us are living through? No, don't raise your hand for that. We are so well aware of the dumb things that we do in our lives. Samson, he's in chains after being tricked, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times by this lady Delilah, trying to overcome and take his strength. Peter is publicly corrected by Paul when he caves to the social pressure, when he starts to mistreat those Gentile believers and better treat Give privilege to the Jews. In Psalms 51, David writes, after being confronted by his own grievous sins of adultery and murder, he writes, "Create in me a clean heart. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Sometimes the consequences, the hardships are the consequences for our poor choices. Sometimes it is discipline. It is preparing us for something greater that God has in store for us, a work, an opportunity, but we are going to need to be refined. We are going to need to take some of that sin, that selfishness, some of those blinders, some of those things that we hold on to of this world, and we need to be freed from that. And that only happens when we are disciplined, when we are stretched, when we are challenged, when we are given an opportunity to grow, and God is giving that opportunity for us. Scripture says, run in such a way that we will win the prize. Grow in patience, love, kindness, and endurance. Gideon, when he is out living in fear, if he didn't have the opportunity to grow in his strength and courage as he faced the angel, how was he ever going to face that giant army? If David hadn't had time of training with the slingshot as he fought to protect his sheep from the lion and the bear, how would he have ever been ready for Goliath? Sometimes the hardships in our lives are preparing us for something greater in the future. And we can all look back and we can say, I remember when that situation happened, and I'm so glad that God delivered me, and now I am ready for this situation today. Have you had those situations? Have you had those recollections of life where God has brought you through a difficulty and a storm, only so that you can be a bright light, a helper, a stable word of godly wisdom in someone else's life as they go through a similar moment. This is God disciplining us, preparing us for what needs to be done. And sometimes our hardships are just an example. God is putting us in a place where there is no opportunity. There is no growth curve that I really need to participate in. It's not because I failed or I did something wrong. I wasn't paying attention. It's because he's putting us in a place where now only his greatness will shine through. This is a great, wonderful thing for us as we think about praise. Number one, Satan lies to us, and we will not be deceived because we will focus on things that are true and noble and right and pure, lovely and admirable. We will focus our attention and not be deceived. But when difficulties come, we will recognize, man, I sure messed up, and I'm going to change my ways. Man, this is an opportunity for me to grow and prepare for greater things to come. Or, wow, God is about to work in this moment. As far as I know, everybody in this room is not responsible for creating COVID. It wasn't a poor choice of yours that brought us into a global pandemic. It is maybe an opportunity for us to grow in our own understanding, our own temperament, our discipleship, our discipline. But it might also be a great opportunity for us just to proclaim that our God is greater than this, and we will give the praise for the difficulties that we are in as God demonstrates his greatness. His power is perfected. It's exemplified in weakness, as Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God had the Israelites in bondage for decades, for centuries in Egypt, so that his greatness would shine through. There was no other reason why they were to escape. I want us to recognize the third truth. That God is greater. God is greater than all the difficulties, all the mistakes, all the things that come and grab our attention. God is greater. He is greater than my fears. He is greater than my income or my lack of income or resources. He is greater than my time or my limited time. God is greater than a pandemic. God is greater than all these things that we worry and fret about. God is greater than all the things that we recognize that we are in deficit for. God has brought us to a place where we understand the true arc of the story, that Satan lies, Satan deceives, Satan destroys so many lives, but we will not be deceived because God is alive, God is right, God is true, God is providing for us a way out, and we focus our attention towards that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 tells us how we are going to overcome. Whatever is true, we are going to focus. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, we are not going to be deceived by Satan's lies. When my thoughts begin to pay attention to the things that are true and right and noble, pure and lovely and admirable, if I will pay attention to those things that are excellent, then I will have reason. I will have opportunity. I will have words to give praise. This morning, I want us to think about our own actions, our own words, that we as believers are lights in this dark world, but sometimes we are muted. Sometimes we are stifled. Sometimes we hold ourselves back because our mind has not been where it needs to be. Our opportunity to praise God, to give Him the recognition in the midst of every trial and every joy, should be quick on our lips. Lamentation chapter 3, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. They are new every morning." But how many of us wake up each morning with gripes and groans, deceiving ourselves before we even start the day? Great is thy faithfulness. David writes in Psalms 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." As we wrap up this series from Philippians 4, 8, I want to challenge you to pay attention to your words, to your mind, that when we are not in a place that is offering praise to our Heavenly Father, perhaps we have placed our thoughts on something that is temporal, that will be destroyed, that is worth less than the great surpassing love and mercy and grace that God has given. Next week, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. I encourage you to read that. And it says this in verse 3, "Praise be to God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." We have received a wonderful inheritance. Let us praise Him for all the great things that He is doing, that He will do, and that He has done. Let's stand together and sing this song of praise.
Lord, take my life. May